Welcome to the podcast for the book, Deliberate Injustice, The Wrongful Conviction of Ken Wynemco, written by author Bob Hennigy, published and printed by ZG Serve, LLC, copyright Deliberate Injustice, LLC. This podcast was produced by Connie Nesberry International, LLC. For more information, visit www.deliberateinjusticethebook.com. This podcast is about the book with author Bob Hennigy. Bob, tell us about Deliberate Injustice, The Wrongful Conviction of Ken Wynemco.
Deliberate Injustice, The Wrongful Conviction of Ken Wynemco is the compelling true story of one man's fight for freedom and justice against tremendous odds. Ken's conviction was based on lies and deceit as local police withheld evidence from the defense, promoted and urged false trial testimony, and conspired to convict him. This book is an emotional roller coaster and an eye-opener to the failings of our judicial system.
Why would someone want to read this book? Why do they need to read this book?
This is really a study in a wrongful conviction, a case study. It relates how Ken went from a convicted rapist to become one of the most respected spokespersons for the wrongfully convicted. In Ken's case, the system suborned perjury, withheld evidence from the defense, and conspired to convict an innocent man. With the rise in wrongful conviction in this country, this book is extremely relevant. In 1994, Ken was convicted of 17 felony charges, 15 criminal sexual conduct in the first degree charges. He was sentenced to 40 years in jail. It was a death sentence for someone that was 43 years old. 9 years later, in 2003, the Innocent Project at Cooley Law School in Lansing, Michigan, took his case, and they worked with Ken to get a DNA test through the state. Ken was proven innocent. And then 5 years later, the actual perpetrator was found with a similar DNA case. It's a must read.
And what makes the book unique? What sets it apart from other books about wrongful convictions?
Well, the book is in narrative form, and it's interspersed with trial transcripts, deposition, witness statements, police reports. It goes even further. It has interviews with so many of the people connected with Kenny's case. The Macomb County prosecutor during Ken's trial and his exoneration, the deputy warden from Ryan Correctional Facility where Ken was housed for the last several years of his imprisonment, and a juror from the actual 1994 trial. You can just imagine the introspective that these individuals can give to the reader when you're talking about the actual person that worked on putting Ken in jail, one of them that actually kept him in jail, and a juror, his insight to the behind-the-scene deliberation was so insightful. It was amazing. No other book has that. But even more are Ken's inner thoughts as he goes through this personal hell. He talks about that first time he's led into the courtroom in a prison jumpsuit and chains in front of his friends and family to answer for these horrific charges. He talks about that first night in Jackson where he's so scared and so despondent that he actually starts to rip up bedsheets in an effort to end it all. It also talks about the euphoric feeling that he had when he got out of jail and when he held his two grandchildren for the first time. Like I said, the book is like no other. It's a very compelling, true story.
Why write this book? What were your personal reasons for taking this project on?
Well, I thought it was an amazing story to do. I wanted to let the public know about how many wrongful convictions actually do happen in the United States, that it really, in my opinion, is a scourge in the American system. There's nothing like losing your freedom and being sentenced to jail. And I've met exonerees who spent decades in jail. And you can just imagine how it's affected their lives to spend 20 years in jail and then be freed and then really not compensated for so long.
How long did it take you to write the book?
It took me over 3 years to complete, going through thousands and thousands of court documents and interviews and rewriting and rewriting. I wanted it as perfect as possible. Only facts from documents are in, only direct statement from individuals, innuendos and rumors, they weren't even considered. And I wanted the public to be aware of what I found out, that these wrongful convictions, they happen. They happen more than we want to believe. People that think our American judicial system is one of the best, it may be, but it does have its fallacies. And right now, there's over 2,200 people that have been proven innocent in the United States alone, and there's one being released every 2 or 3 days right now.
Wow. How was the decision made to create this book?
Kenny and I decided that we were going to write the book, and we brought in Terry Zimba, a high school buddy of ours who happened to be a publisher. And we sat, it was the year 2014, April of 2014, in my living room, and we laid the basic groundwork of what we were going to accomplish with the book. You know, we wanted to tell what exactly happened to him, but I insisted that no innuendos or rumors were going to be included. Mm-hmm. So everything in the book is taken from police reports, court transcripts, interview sessions with depositions, witness statements, or interviews with individuals that were actually there. Just before the book was published, I tried to get a hold of a juror to get his perspective on deliberations and how it went and how they felt about convicting an innocent man, you know, years later. I reached out to several of the individuals on Facebook, but they did not respond. Finally, I found a juror by the name of Jerry Innes. We just want to know how the whole thing went down. And he was more than happy to interview. And he shed some light on exactly what the book portrays, what happened to Kenny. And basically, the story that the jury received was enough for him to convict Kenny and sentence him to 40 years in prison.
Who else did you interview for the book?
Well, there are several people involved in the case that I was able to get a hold of, and most everyone that participated were more than happy to be to assist Kenny in telling his story. One of the things that Kenny insisted before I start the book was to read 6 to 8 books about wrongful convictions, just to get the experience in the genre itself. And of all the books that I read, no one is able to make the claim that Deliberate Injustice makes, and that is, we have an interview with the prosecuting attorney at the time of Kenny's conviction.
Wow.
And the prosecuting attorney at the time of his exoneration. We also have an interview with the deputy warden at one of the prisons where Kenny stayed. And, of course, we have the interview with the juror. Now, the interview of the prosecuting attorney, Carl Marlinga, and the deputy warden at Ryan Correctional Facility, Scott Nobles, it happened to occur in the same evening in a restaurant in downtown Mount Clemens. And as we're driving back, I told Kenny, I says, you know, this is pretty unusual because we interviewed the person that put you in jail and the person that kept you in jail, and now they're lifelong friends of yours. Like I said, just before the book was published, I was able to get a hold of the juror, Jerry Innes, and the chapter where I interviewed the juror is very telling on how the system failed Kenny. It's really a story of a prosecutor able to pretty run rampant and really ruin a man's reputation, mm-hmm, through no factual evidence, and his defense attorney ineptness as to stop it. To me, it was one of my favorite interviews because it just told many things that none of these other books that I've read or even heard of have.
Were there other people that you really wanted to interview that you couldn't quite get? Like, what about the victim?
Well, the victim, I'd like to interview her for a couple reasons. Even if it didn't make the book, Kenny wanted some closure as to how she identified him, because if you have the book in your hand, there's a side-by-side photos of the actual perpetrator and Kenny. Well, the thing is, if you look at the two photos, Kenny's 5'10", 180, the actual rapist is like 6'6", 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow she actually had an accurate portrayal of the perpetrator, and somehow that got lost, and she, in an eyewitness identification, identified Kenny.
What else do you want to highlight about the book right now?
It really is a case study in a wrongful conviction. You know, it starts out where Kenny is just this average Joe minding his own business. He gets arrested for this horrendous rape, and he really believes in the system, mm-hmm, until it's too late. And this case study, it follows him when he is arrested, as he's sitting in jail, contemplating this whole situation he's in. He's just bewildered. Then he gets convicted. He has to go to Jackson Prison, which is a horrific place. They ended up closing it a couple of years after he got transferred. And I remember a line that he used, you know, you're scared all the time because there's people in there that would kill you for a candy bar. Mm-hmm. But it follows that whole journey of his through all of his appeals and his ability to survive prison. And then finally, when he gets out, you know, the problems he had associating himself with society. I mean, he was scared around women. He was scared to death when a cop was even close. And he had to work those things out. And as I've read with other exonerees, they have that same issue. It is a PTSD-like symptom of being incarcerated falsely and then being let go into society.
That sounds like that piece could be a whole book in itself.
Well, we treated his reacclimation into society with a chapter in itself, because mm-hmm. I think it was important, and it's something that I did not consider when I started reading this book. I heard about mm-hmm. it, but there were times, the first part of the book talks about the incarceration and the conviction and Kenny's experiences. And it bothered him so much, because he told me, he said, "Bobby, I have to relive stuff that I've been trying to forget for the last 20 years. There was a good 3 or 4 month period when he was so upset he couldn't even talk about the book. And I told him, "Well, mm-hmm. if you want your book written, you're going to have to, yeah. you know, somehow man up." And eventually it got to the point where he could then talk about his experience. But it bothered him that much. And mm-hmm. I talked to other exonerees, and that's really the worst part about it. Having mental health coverage when you get out is very, very important. And one of the things his civil suit lawyers instructed him to do was to speak with a psychologist, a guy he speaks to this day. Mm-hmm. But once as he went through the acclimation, it also follows him as he becomes one of the leading spokespersons, for the wrongfully convicted. He's spoke in front of the Michigan Senate, Harvard School of Law, Michigan School of Law, mm-hmm. Michigan State, Wayne State. He's been on numerous TV and radio stations, including the Mitch Albom Show. And that's his calling. He found a purpose in life. Mm-hmm. He's one of the lucky ones, that to find that purpose in life. And that's what the book does. It really is a case study from the beginning of his nightmare to where he is sitting today. We went to the Innocent Network convention this past summer, 2018. And I met so many of them, and so many of them have so much respect for Kenny. And in fact, Barry Scheck, who is really the founder of the Innocent movement, wrongful convictions with the First Innocent Project in New York, he read the book and he said the format is different. He had to put it down at first, but he loved it. It's one of the best he's ever read, and he was instrumental in pushing our story with a production company in New York that is working on a series of prosecutorial misconduct cases.
Great.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
So the book is done. How did the writing of this book affect you?
Well, the first time I was exposed to the epidemic of wrongful convictions that plagued our system, I was shocked. I believed in it. And then I've met a ton of individuals from the legal profession and outside that have dedicated their lives and money to help the wrongfully convicted. And I marveled at the attitude of the exonerees. They're never bitter. They're just happy to be free and that the truth came out. And I don't know if I could be like them. But one of the things that I never even took into account was the mental anguish and that, like I mentioned before, the PTSD-like symptoms that they experience. When I was writing the book with Kenny and he had just gone through recalling his time in jail and his time during the trial and the embarrassment and the fear that he experienced, he had like a semi-mental breakdown. He couldn't talk about the book for almost 4 months. And that's how it affects, like I said, it affects them to this day. And I didn't take that into account. I thought once they were out, they just put it behind them, and they never will. And another thing I realize is how Kenny has so positively affected the lives of so many individuals, not only by speaking at different venues and telling people and educating them about the problem, but also how he supports the individuals and also his work in the judicial system and trying to pass laws in the state of Michigan. He's been a shining example of what an exoneree could do in his life once he's set free.
What's the reaction to the book so far?
Well, it's all positive. Lawyers, judges, lay people, as I consider myself, they're just astonished. There's a lot of emotion. It's an emotional roller coaster when you read it. So many people have told me they have to put the book down. They get so angry at what happened to Kenny. And especially when they realize that it's happened to thousands of other individuals. It's been very positive. We're very, very pleased.
Do you feel you've accomplished what you wanted to with this book?
Well, there's two things I want to accomplish. Number one, I wanted to tell Kenny's story the way Kenny wanted it told. I wanted to tell the truth. And I wanted it to be truthful in that no rumors or innuendos that people had said or regarding the case, that wasn't going to be part of the book. I wanted the book to satisfy both someone with a legal background and a layperson. I wanted them to be able to follow the book through the narrative and the interjection of the trial transcripts, the depositions, the police statements, and even the interviews from the different people that were involved. I wanted to expose the lay people to reading legal documents like the judge's opinion and the jailhouse snitch's declaration, and let them know that this is something that could happen to anybody. And it did happen to a buddy of mine, and neither he, Kenny, or myself ever could believe that it could happen in the United States, and it did, and it's happening at an alarming rate. So I think the book accomplishes that. I just wanted to let everybody know that this is happening before our own eyes.
Where can people find more information about the book?
Visit our website at www.deliberateinjusticethebook.com. We have it in paperback and ebook formats. And visit our website. There's a ton of information about the case in the book. There's excerpts, synopsis, a lot more. You know, this is really a compelling story about one man's fight for freedom and justice in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds. It's so relevant in today's society.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Connie.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We would like to give you a 20% discount for ordering the book, Deliberate Injustice, The Wrongful Conviction of Ken Wynemco, at www.deliberateinjusticethebook.com. Use code POD20. Order today to learn more about wrongful convictions and how this can happen to anyone. Again, your discount code is POD20.